Morning, Martin. So how did the last council meeting go there? Any surprises at all? Well, you can get the minutes online if you want to sort of go through them. Well, I know that, Martin. It takes hours and hours and hours to wade through the content. I don't want to do that. I want you to actually condense it and concise it for me as quickly as you can. Now, what were the main points, please, if you don't mind? Well, the main theme, again, sir, was to try and do something about the homelessness. You know, the homeless, the poverty, well, that sort of thing that's raging and ravaging through the parish, our once proud and beautiful town. I see. And what sort of conclusions did you sort of draw or reach at the end? Condense it for me. Come on, Martin, please, please. Let's clean it up and condense it for me. Well, in a nutshell, basically we put forward some suggestions of how to clean it up from all corners of the council, and yes. Well, it's a town centre. Yes, I'm fully aware of what we're cleaning up. What were the points of view and markers and mileposts that you arrived at? Whilst I was on vacation in La Belle France, as it were. Well, the points of view were put forward, as I say, from the four corners of the council, and sort of the feminine aspect of things forwarded a plan to put a community type of conscription together, sort of a simple, subtle, nimby-nudging approach. Nimby-nudging. Nimby or nimbies? Plural or singular? Nimby. Nimby, not sure. Could be plural. Well, I think it could be plural, yeah. But, you know, they say, sir, that the plural's is sort of very misrepresented in the English language. Who misrepresents the plural? Well, there's just a misuse of it in the English language, is there? Where? Well, all over. I forgot who said it, but basically, you know, it's stated that the English always misrepresent their plurals quite often, by all accounts. Right. And also that they're far too sort of generous with their R's, and they elongate their vowels. Right. So we're over generous with our R's and we elongate the vowel, and we also misrepresent the plurals, I see. Yes, they sort of end up rolling like the Spanish R's. Right. What are we talking about again here? Nimbus, sir. Nimbus. No, before that. Before that, Martin. Oh, the minutes of the meeting, the council meeting. That's right. The council meeting. What council meeting? Well, the last one, sir, when you were in La Belle France. Oh, yes, of course, yeah. Yeah, what was it about? Let's not get distracted. What was it about, Martin? Well, it's homelessness, sir. Right, that's it. Yeah, that's good. Let's keep on track. So it's about the homelessness and what happened then on the points, the point of view. Who put this community conscription? Surely that's no different to the community, I don't know, service that goes on now when people are tagged up and what have you, is it? Is it? Can't be any different, can it? To the conscription? Well, no, sir. One's obviously enforced, but legally, this one would be a sort of a voluntary type of conscription. Right. And this is, well, is it going to sort of bring back our proud and once proud, beautiful town or not? It seems to me, I mean, we've got tags on the people now and we can't enforce what's going on with law. So how are we going to sort of nudge them or nimby-nudge them into action in a community-type conscription? Well, the reason nobody turns up is because, you know, why don't they turn up to the actual... It's law enforced and they don't turn up. Well, why not? And they got tags on them, don't forget. And I mean, they should be turning up because we've got a taxi service now that's virtually running round the clock, haven't we? Yes, 24-hour. You see, that's another thing. We've got a taxi service to pick up the tagged team of the parish, and it's 24/7. It's costing there's a horrendous bill for it, and I mean they're only working 9 to 5. So why are we got it running 24/7? Well, because some of them are getting picked up from jobs and things, but nightclubs. Well, yeah, from pubs and stuff. They come straight out of there and they are using taxis to get home, I suppose. Well, no, to get ready for their work, for their, you know, community service. I see. So we're now running a taxi service, or you want to run a taxi service, extended taxi service for the tramps. Well, it's a little bit like that. A little bit like that. I think the taxpayers, the council taxpayers, are either going to sort of take a levy off them for the Lush House or the Licensed Victuallers Association to pay extra to get the tramps around in taxis. I mean, is this going to combat? Well, it hasn't combated anything to do with this burgeoning tent community. So what else have we put forward? Come on, we can't extend the taxi service. Well, the next point was sprinklers from the business quarter and the shops and stuff. Right, and a person, you know, in the council, Jenkins, sprinklers. What's that all about? Well, sprinklers, you know, under the disguise of enhancing the floral look of the town, we've noticed, or Jenkins have noticed, that outside Betty's Tea Rooms and various tea rooms that have sprinklers on their hanging baskets, that it disperses the tramps, as it were. They don't muster there. Muster. You're making it sound as though this loutish, slovenly behaviour is almost military. You mean, well, a lot are ex-military, you know, sir, the tramps brigade sort of thing. Oh, right. Oh, well, anyway, what happens? Well, it's sort of outside, you know, Betty's and the Kit Kat Club. The Kit Kat Club? Yeah, it's in the Montpellier. They've got these hanging baskets that are watered and sprinklers sort of thing. And, well, four times a day keeps the tramps away. That's a new saying, is it? Four times a day keeps them away? Not bad. The Jenkins has thought this. Good. And, of course, I like the idea of that. So it sort of rids them of sort of sitting and begging outside various prestigious establishments in Old Aldgate, of course. Good idea, not bad idea. Jenkins, you say. Any more think tank views, leanings towards? Well, there's another one that they were the from sort of a liberal side of the council. They thought that possibly a wine fountain that would be placed outside of town, a wine fountain, so that obviously if you're an alcoholic or, you know, alcoholics challenge as such, you know, that you'd walk out of town, down to the far end of the Stray, which is about, you know, it's quite miles away, and get a little wet down of wine free. At the wine fountain. A wine fountain. Yes, sir. It's typical of the Liberals to think of that. So, you think that they're going to be able... Well, do you think they'll walk to get a free glass of plunk? I mean, we're putting them all in taxis. Surely they'll use the taxi to get there. Ah, well, that's the thing. We'd have to sort of cancel that thing out. And we were hoping that, you know, that the walk there, or the walk back, as it were, they'd sort of sober up a little and things. I see. I don't think that's going to help anyone that's sort of alcoholically challenged to dry out if we actually build a fountain full of red wine or white wine or a font of Chablis or something bubbling constantly. I can't see them. They'll sleep by it and just fill themselves. Well, it'd be on a bit of a one press only glassful, so. Right. And I suppose you'd want some cigarette machines nearby as well that were free. Well, that was just their sort of, it's not mine, of course, but, you know, it's a good cock stride out of town, and it's on a reward system, and a bit like sort of coaching hamsters and stuff, they always toodle a distance, get a bit of water and a bit of corn and fodder, as it were. And at the end of this, what were you thinking, sort of, to build another tavern or something? Because they did this where the watering holes were concerned, wasn't it? The spring water, when it bubbled up, this is how towns came to exist, is we ended up with the tramps and thieves building their own bordellos and bars and taverns and coaching houses at the end where the spring waters were, hence where our towns came to. So where this water fountain is, what, we're going to just build another tent community or something and destroy that part of town? This sounds pretty ludicrous. Well, not in... Well, what's the next one, surely? Well, it's shown that in many cities... You know, this is where the liberals have got it from, because in many cities in the European capitals, which cities? Well, mainly in the Netherlands, Amsterdam and so, it's shown that it reduces the impact of, degradation in the town centre if you build a necessary font or fountain of wine or vice of such sorts. Well, that's the thing, isn't it? I mean, let's face it, Martin, that's one of the vice capitals of the world that you've just mentioned, where people fly in to engage in vice. Thailand has the same. They're virtually bubbling fountains of vice that you can drink from. And constantly people do, so all you've done is encourage more and more people to fly in there, which is what we're going to do by building a Merlot fountain as such, that's free for people to bathe in or baptise their babies in or whatever, because no doubt they will. Free wine, Woodbines. This is not going to fly with the parish. I don't know. It just doesn't sound as though it's going to fly at all. Any more? I mean, the only ones working now at the moment is a rinse down of rainwater onto the top of them through floral display. What was the other one? Well, that was... Are you sure the other one's not got any... Well, of course it's not got any legs. I mean, supplying tramps with, to suck on stogies and slake down swill, free, is hardly going to go into the stray ferret local newspaper online, is it? They're hardly going to want to pay for that, are they? Anyway, they probably find a way of carrying it back. They'll trailer it back or something. So what about anything else? Nothing? There must be... Well, there was a little sort of far-right issue by Hugh... Hugh Wensley Witterstall. Oh God, hardline Hugh gone. What did he have to say? I didn't even know he was still in the council. Well, apart from having hung, drawn and quartered and shot at dawn, he suggested, though the hardliners of the council suggested a tough stand, kangaroo lasso stockade. Type of thing, right? A cold turkey cooler or something, that's it. Where he'd have the people, put into a stockade basically and dry down. He'd seen it in Italy or something, they'd taken place, it actually, captured all the drunks on New Year's Day with lassos, like, and put them into cages and sent them to a virtual dry out dog pound. I see. You see, the problem with Hugh is he didn't realise that these people have rights. Under our amendments, the Civil Rights Bill, the Human Rights Bill, the gone, this bygone era of Wellington and Waterloo ruling the waves and shooting its own population with cannonette and grape shot is gone, but Hugh unfortunately doesn't realise this. It seems we might be stuck with option two on the floral. Rainwater, isn't it? So what's been done? Is any plans or any testing? Well, we've tested it. We've built a small models and we've... timing and location is the most important thing. Timing, location. What's timing and location? Well, we found that if the tramps do... We can't really call them tramps, can we? You mean the challenged persons of our community? Yes. Well, if they sort of rumble it, or if they rumble the routine, they usually sort of are... they find a way round it, basically. If we try to corral them in this and this and that, and the rest, we corral them down the corridors. Well, have we tried this? Oh, yeah, we've tried... Well, we haven't, but obviously London tried it in what they call kettling and corralling... At rallies, we've studied this and we don't think it'll work. We don't particularly have a good corridor to corral them, and at the end of it, we haven't got anything there. apart from if we do that, you know, sort of build sanctuary and shelter, we think that possibly that would be the way. So we've got to build a corral, and for these sort of challenged of our community. What are we doing? Building another township or something for them? A tramp's township? We can't say that's a challenge. Right. So the timing and everything, yes. We sort of coax them and nudge them and push them and nip at them with rainwater and various other things. Noise, disbursement, high-pitched noise disbursement. And we corral them down a corridor where they gain and get themselves a reward as such. Not a wine fountain at the end of it. No. We were thinking possibly, meals, like the Red Cross give meals, 3 square meals or something, and shelter and away from the harsh rain and the rain that we created. Well, sort of. But we sort of push them that way. And we do it 4 times a day, and it has to be sporadic. It can't be just a routine rainwater that we sprinkle on them. It's got to be sporadic, and they've got to be nimby nudged that way, as it were. These chaps and chapettes, yeah. And a bit like herding sheep and cattle and things then. Yeah, it's very much so, but not with dogs nipping at them. But, so what are we looking at then? If we do take option two, I suppose, has anyone done any pricings on this and, found out how much it might cost? No? Hughes options comes in at the best costing. Right. Let's just have the costs first, shall we? What's the rainwater costing of... Well, that's looking at about 10.2 million. Yes. 10.2 million? My God. How do we get to that? And what's Hughes' hardline option? What's that running here? Well, that's actually very exceptionally cheap because, it's using existing operatives, as it were. That's coming in what? Well, that's under 100,000. How's he managed to put it together, 100,000? Under 100,000? How's that work? Well, you see, what he was thinking of doing, Hughes' hardline crew, that they were going to use the dustbin cages that they pick up all the huge dustbin sacks. As you see, we've got quite a number of them. We've got dozens and dozens of these cage trucks, fairly big, and what he was thinking was that just a few more operatives and they could put one or two tramps in there with the dustbin liners, of course, and lay them on there and then drop them off at the tip. So what, just drop the tramps at the tip? Well, the challenge, sir, right? A penny pot. Yeah. And then and let them basically walk back and dry out. They dry out on the way back, you see. It's a fair few miles. And when they got back, of course, you'd be taking them at least half a day, because they'd be sleeping most of the time up at the tip. And then they could walk back. And you wouldn't need any dry out clinics or shelters or shrinks or staff to really manage that. We just put them in the woods up there and out in the countryside and let them dry out and then they'd walk back. It used to be, that's what they used to do, you see, in the old days. That's where Hughes got it from. I see. So, yeah, right. It's a sort of, two-bird kill. Kill two birds with one stone, because you're using the existing materials and manpower. And just sort of leave them at the tip and in the countryside there, and let them sober up, and then in the woods there, and then walk back. That's the old method, the medieval method that they used to use. Medieval method. There might be meaning in that madness. Well, don't forget, sir, the human rights, the human rights. Oh yes, of course, the human rights. Of course, yeah. But you see, Martin, the £10.2 million is a big, big expense. But it's the right, sir. It's the rights that we... Yes, the human rights. Hmm. You better give me a copy of the both plans. Hardline Hughes and the option of the rainwater pacifists, as it were. Yes, but don't forget, so the you mentioned the rights. Yes, I know about the rights. Thank you, Martin. That's fine. But remember, you know, we are on a budget squeeze, and it's a terrible sort of tease. This terrible budget squeeze.